The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name, buried in cheers and applause? Of course there isn't.
Your attention, please. For your safety, please do not run. Running is not safe. Do not run. Thank you for your cooperation. This is for your safety. You may return to your normal activities, if they are safe.
That is the soundtrack of 21st century America, is it not? We're locked in the safety zone, and it's a fucking bore. Safe toys, safe cars, safe food, safe schools, safe roads, safe internet, safe deposit box, safe swimming, safe power tools, safe kitchen utensils, safe downloads, safe jogging, safe eyewear, safe cookware, safe cosmetics, safe drugs, safe sex, safe shopping, safe viewing, safe dating. Newsflash! No matter how fucking safe you are, you're still gonna die. So my daughter's school has just banned running during recess due to safety concerns. How about that, huh? Safety concerns. Well, yeah, while running, kids sometimes do stumble and fall. Might get a scraped knee. Maybe a sprained or broken wrist. Doubtless, some kids have died while running. Maybe their hearts gave out or they ran into traffic or whatever. Running is not 100% safe. So we better just ban it. Anyway, there's probably an app for running. Just let the kiddies fire up the iPad, stroke it with a pudgy finger, and watch somebody else run, some crazy daredevil who doesn't understand about safety. Then have a few donuts and watch some more. Wonder why there's a national obesity crisis. The figures are staggering. 60 million Americans are obese. Obese is more than 20% above normal body weight, and morbidly obese means a person is either 50, maybe 100% over normal weight. And 1 in 5 American kids are now obese. Obesity has become the number one health problem here. Wow, look at that. Even more than guns. Nobody's marching for French fry control. Obesity is the one crisis marching might actually fix. But let's play safely and stop running. Scraped knees are dangerous. Where did this obsession with safety come from? Because it was not always this way. There was a time when the only people wearing helmets were fighter pilots and construction workers. Now, there's a helmet for everything. A while back, some friends of my wife's came to SoCal for a visit from their home in New England. While they were here, they wanted to try some horseback riding. So I called a joint where I occasionally ride and made a reservation. And I know the guy, and I asked him to give us horses that were old, tired, maybe even arthritic. He laughed and said, "Ooh, can do." So after they visited Disneyland and Universal and all the places I hope never to set foot in again, I drove them out to the ranch. And sure as hell, there were a bunch of the sorriest-looking swayback nags you could imagine. And it was about 100 degrees that day, and helmets were optional. Now, I had told these folks that their mounts would be very sedate, but still, they all opted for helmets for themselves and their kids. We spent about an hour slowly ambling around a sagebrush trail in oppressive heat, and finally, it was over. Of course, neither my wife, kids, nor I wore helmets, and as I drove home, I thought, there are two types of people in this world. Helmet People, and the rest of us. It looks like the Helmet People are running the show, doesn't it? Because there is no escaping the incessant, ubiquitous American obsession with safety. Everywhere you go and look, there are safety warnings. And it's ruining a lot of the best parts of life. Like getting to run around a schoolyard and play tag with your friends during recess. Jim Morrison famously said, "No one here gets out alive." No small amount of truth in that. Of course, we can try to stick around as long as possible. But at what price? I wonder if somebody has done a study on when the culture became obsessed with safety. Was there a particular event, some cataclysm, or was it a slow, incremental crawl to helmet land? Maybe it started with cars, seatbelts, then airbags. For a while, Volvo's entire selling proposition was safety. Ooh, and the soccer moms ate it up. Meanwhile, Autobahn-savvy Germans call Volvos the world's fastest tractor. Volvo had a commercial where they had, I don't know, 8-10 boxy Volvos stacked on top of each other like Legos. And the soccer moms went nuts for them until somebody let it leak that the cars were gimmicked. Only a roll-caged race car would withstand that kind of pressure on a roofline. Volvo had tricked each car out by reinforcing the pillar posts with 2x4s. Busted. Then the motorcyclists were next. They didn't like wearing helmets, and to be sure, Easy Rider would never have been a hit had Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper been wearing helmets in every shot. Yeah, Fonda wore his Stars and Bars helmet in a few scenes, but mostly he let the wind whip his Luxo hair as he rode. And Hopper had that Aussie Stetson, and Jack Nicholson wore a football helmet, one without a face or mouth guard, and he was comic relief. Then in California, somebody decided, for your safety, that all bikers must wear helmets, and there was a shitstorm. Big pushback, big fight back and forth, but of course, the helmet people won. Seems they always do. Lots of bikers said, "Hey, fuck helmets. We'll pay more for our insurance for our right not to wear helmets." That seemed fair, but no. Everybody must wear a helmet. Now the helmet people have spread it not just to motorcyclists, but all wheeled conveyances. California law requires anyone under 18 to wear a helmet when riding a bicycle, scooter, skateboard, unicycle, or inline skates. Funny thing, though, how some of these safety laws are selectively enforced. A few years back, a guy on a bicycle was run over by a car in the fashionable San Fernando Valley. But it wasn't just any car. It was a Los Angeles Sheriff's patrol car. The guy on the bicycle, one Milton Olin Jr., former Napster exec and entertainment attorney, was killed when the patrol car driven by Deputy Andrew Francis Wood ran him over. Was it an accident? Not by my definition, or most attorneys or even insurance companies. An accident would have been if the cyclist suddenly veered in front of the car as he was passing him, or maybe if the car had a blowout and became hard to control. But that's not what happened. What happened was the deputy, at the time he hit the cyclist, was typing on his computer. That's no fucking accident. That's negligence. Big, big difference. Now, texting while driving is illegal, isn't it? Yes, it is. Studies prove it is even more dangerous, more lethal, than driving drunk. Drunk is a relative thing, and drunks do tend to keep their eyes on the road. But that's just not possible when you're texting. It's tantamount to driving blind. Or is it? because the texting-typing sheriff was not charged with any wrongdoing whatsoever. How can this be? Well, here's the official statement from Officialdom about official policy for officials. Quote, in declining to bring criminal charges against Deputy Wood, prosecutors noted that a state law banning drivers from using wireless electronic devices while driving exempts police officers and other emergency professionals. Unquote. Well, I guess police officers and other emergency professionals are not drivers then at all. Do they guide their vehicles telepathically? Psychokinetics? Maybe they are supermen and women and they have trained their eyes to disable our stereoscopic vision, and they can literally keep one eye on the road and one eye on that official keyboard. Because they're professionals on official business, and whatever the fuck you're doing, you are an amateur, and most certainly not official. Here's a wild thought for the safety Nazis. That dead attorney, it would have been entirely possible for the deputy to have written the attorney a summons for not wearing a helmet earlier in the day, and then have been killed by the deputy just a few hours later, because officials are responsible for your safety. Says it right on the cars. In the interest of fairness, many Los Angeles cyclists ride like assholes. They hog the middle of the road on streets where they cannot possibly keep up with traffic. They blow through red lights and stop signs constantly. And so, they get mown down all the time. When they do, some outfit usually puts a ghost cycle at the death site. It's some kind of memorial. It's an old bike painted white. They say it's a reminder to motorists to share the road. And that's not a bad idea. But there's no mention of reminding cyclists to obey traffic signals. There was a ghost bike for several months at the spot where the attorney met the sheriff. It looked kind of weird and forlorn. At least it wasn't the usual assemblage of candles, stuffed toys, and balloons marking roadside fatalities for non-cyclists. Those always make me wonder. I get the candles, or sometimes there's a cross or a Star of David. That makes sense. But I'll never, ever understand the plush toys and balloons. And no, those are not exclusive to deceased children. Those things are for adults, too. Those balloons and stuffed toys look pretty damn festive for a death marker. People are fucking weird. There's so much bullshit in the world of safety. I guess anyone who doesn't wear a helmet and safety glasses while chewing gum is some kind of daredevil. Well, unless it's sugarless gum, some would say even that's risky. I've had a few close brushes with death. Had guns pulled on me a number of times. You can hear about one such adventure in bonus episode 16, Larry vs. the Killer Pimp, part 2. There were a few other instances where I might have been extinguished, but in each occurrence, when I did not get dead, I felt a hell of a feeling of elation, not just relief, but a rush. I suppose that's what true daredevils and adrenaline junkies are after. Lots of them say they never feel more alive than when death is imminent. I believe them. There's a huge area of business that just keeps expanding. Risk management and assessment. There are a bazillion guys trying to figure the odds on every calamity in business, any business, from construction to automotive, financial, pharmaceuticals, you name it. Sounds lofty and nice, but what it really boils down to is, how cheap can we make this shit without getting somebody killed? And if we do, can we win the lawsuit? Corporations have been in a risk management for a long time. And with our safety-obsessed culture, how long can it be until helicopter parents will be hiring domestic risk managers to childproof their homes, assess the schools the kids attend, evaluate their toys and pets for lethality, their diets, their devices, everything? Some poor kid in Cincinnati was recently killed by a Honda Odyssey. He wasn't hit by it. He was just trying to fish some tennis equipment out of the third seat. And the seat folded up in him and eventually suffocated him. The kid called 911 twice, gave his location, and begged for help, but they arrived too late. At this point, it looks like the cops and or the dispatcher fucked up, but doubtless somebody's going to also blame Honda. Maybe all this safety jazz is dumbing down the population, depriving the planet of valuable Darwinian thinning. Every plastic bag, every pool toy, every imaginable product has 7 or 8 paragraphs of legal disclaimers and safety instructions. Where the fuck will this end? Esquire magazine used to do a yearly piece called the Dubious Achievement Awards. It was funny as hell, and all true. Stories like the guy who cured his toothache by shooting out a molar with a .22. He also lost 9 other teeth and most of his lower jaw. Or the other guy who suffered from migraines yet lived after relieving the pressure by drilling 3 holes in his skull with a Black & Decker. Unfortunately, he died after drilling a 4th hole. Today, with all the gun control, by the time that idiot got hold of a pistol, he might have found a dentist. Which meant he might have been able to also find a woman stupid enough to reproduce with him. Do we really want that? And the head driller, too. With all the warnings plastered on power tools, he might have thought twice before plugging it in. His departure was probably a good thing for society. Here, kid, here's a box of crayons and a helmet and safety glasses. Because some kid once broke a crayon and a fragment hit him in the eye and he fell backwards off his chair and hit his head and died. So put your helmet on and snug that chin strap tight. And remember to color inside the lines, too. Do as the risk manager and safety officers say. What will happen to us as a species when all risk of bodily harm has been negated? Then what? Doesn't seem to be working out so good, does it? Sprained ankles and sunburn are way down, but obesity and diabetes is skyrocketing. And they cost a fuck ton more to treat. Investing in VR tech might be a better investment than cryptocurrencies. Fuck skiing and skydiving and surfing and hockey and football, they're just too risky. Strap on those goggles, put your feet up on a nice comfy ottoman, and be a virtual daredevil while eating Cheetos and Slim Jims. Now that's how to enjoy dangerous sports. Maybe it's the feminization of our culture that's responsible for this. Typically, mom screams at little Justin to get off the ledge, and dad says, relax. If he takes a fall, it'll toughen him up. Although now, with all the soy being consumed, that scenario and dialogue is unlikely. When my kids were toddlers, I often found myself interacting with people I would never have voluntarily. That's what kids do to you. They make friends with kids, and you wind up driving them to their homes for playdates. I recall the inside of one house. It looked like a rubber room from an old-time nut house. There were moving blankets pinned to every wall, every table or counter corner had 5 inches of foam duct taped around it. It was bizarre. Childproofing. Both parents smoked heavily. I watched mommy cooking dinner, fried everything, washed down with gallons of Coke. The kid was already on her way to obesity and COPD, but she sure as hell wasn't going to bang her head on anything sharp. People, especially male people, and young people, need danger. It's a part of proper development. And danger is being extracted from all our lives. One of the best-selling books in recent years was The Dangerous Book for Boys. It had some cool stuff in there. Things like how to build a treehouse, or use a compass, or start a fire with flint, shit like that. And people could not get enough of it. Because without at least some slight element of danger, adventure, real adventure, is not possible. It just isn't. Of course, the Panzified Safety Nazis criticized the book for, quote, encouraging its young readers to injure themselves. But others praised it for helping to counter the PlayStation culture. People should exercise reasonable caution, and after that, anybody who winds up dead or dismembered often brings it on themselves. I used to say that any male who attains the age of 21 without killing or crippling himself should get some kind of cash award. Young males just love doing crazy physical shit, usually preceded by the words, "Hey, watch this." Often, after those words are spoken, the next sounds heard are screams of pain followed by ambulance sirens. And now that Ringling Brothers Circus is gone, where will young boys get inspiration for death-defying stunts? And you know it's only a matter of time until the safety Nazis demand stunt videos be removed from YouTube. By the way, I lamented the passing of the circus in episode 6, Larry at the Circus, one of the most downloaded episodes ever. Check it out. And if nobody wrecks themselves, who will serve as the living cautionary tales? How many kids has Charles Krauthammer saved from becoming paraplegic? Maybe quite a few. As a kid, this dude lived next door to my grandfather in one of those row houses with a big stone staircase up to the first floor. And every so often, I'd see this guy being carried down the stairs by his family and placed in a car with hand controls. His legs were dead. As a teenager, he dove headfirst into shallow water, same as Krauthammer. So strongly did seeing him affect me that even now, I would not dive headfirst into the Mariana Trench. No amount of signage or verbal warnings or legal disclaimers could have hit me with the power of watching that poor dude get carried around. Amazingly, where much of Europe is at the forefront of crazy shit, America seems to be the global leader in safety mania, mostly because of our litigious legal system. What do I mean? Well, everywhere you go here, it's safety first. We practically have to sign releases before we use a toilet somewhere. But I recently went to France, and I narrowly missed death. How? I was on a cruise on the Seine River, a river which has dozens, if not hundreds, of bridges above it, some built very long ago and very, very low. And as you cruise that river, they make you lie back, and I mean nearly flat, on chaise lounges. And a few guys from the crew are on deck, watching everybody. At first I'm thinking, why are these guys so paranoid? I'm not here to nap. I want to sit up straight while I take in Paris at night. And the bridges were low, but they still had 5 or 6 feet clearance. And the boat clocks along at a pretty good clip, and suddenly one of these sailors screams at me to get down, and I do. Because as I was staring at the light show on the Eiffel Tower, we were zipping beneath an ancient stone bridge that cleared the back of those chairs by maybe 3 inches. Had that guy not yelled at me, you would most certainly be listening to another podcast right now. My head would have been smashed, and I realized nowhere in America would they take tourists for a ride like that. Insurance just wouldn't allow it. I was told that in France, their courts don't cater to idiots the way ours do here, even idiots like me. All this safety shit has taken on another sinister dimension. It's being politicized, same as the environment, education, religion, and many other issues. doctors being forced to ask patients if they own a firearm and then apprise them of the risks. This despite the proven fact that you are never in more danger than when in a hospital. So what shitloads of safety warnings are really about is not safety at all, but control. Control with a capital K, comrade. Government says, surrender your weapons. We'll keep you safe. It didn't work out so well in Parkland, Florida last Valentine's Day, did it? And don't text and drive, unless you're one of us. And even if we kill you while we text and drive, expect no recompense or accountability because we're the boss of you. And we're professional texters, and official, with monocular vision. Now, put your helmet on, or we'll fine you for being unsafe. You know, there's a day for every goddamn thing under the sun. Every cause, every political movement, every vegetable, every fruit, every historical figure. How about National Danger Day? Take a fast drive on a mountain road and leave the seatbelt off. Juggle a couple of running chainsaws. Squirt a whole can of lighter fluid on the grill and light it with a cigarette in your mouth. Shave with a hunting knife on a roller coaster. Hold a Roman candle in your hand and aim it at your buddy. At the end of the day, if you're still around, life will seem more worth living. And those that don't make it, well, at least they went out on their terms instead of in some hospital with tubes up their ass. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging with me once again here at the Take No Shit Dojo. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, join the dojo at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Send me your thoughts, comments, and love at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. And go to thatlarryshow.com and click the subscribe by email button so you never miss an episode. Come on back and hang with us this Sunday for Sinner's Sunday, where the ribs are hot, the beer is cold, the women are pointy, and salvation is fun. Until that time, take no shit.
You may return to your normal activities if they are safe.